What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Cool Colas here, and you are now tuning into a new episode of the Pro Black Blurred Kingdom Podcast. Don't mind me, y'all. It's morning, and I just woke up, so I'm recording this episode, you know, a little on the groggy side, but, you know, I still wanted to make sure I got it out to y'all, and, you know, I got out everything that I needed to say about this topic. So bear with me. Today, I want to talk to y'all about a couple different things. First of all, I want to talk about the origins of the character Black Panther. I want to give my thoughts on the Black Panther trailer or the trailers that have come out. I want to talk about my fear about the movie or my fears about what I think is going to happen with the movie. And then I want to talk about the Letitia Wright vaccine issue that happened on set of Black Panther Wakanda Forever before they began filming it, or during while they were filming it. You know, I have to give credit to the brother Riza Islam, who spoke about this topic and opened my eyes to some of what I'm about to tell you. Black Panther isn't just any old Negro thrown into a Black Panther suit running around in Wakanda. He is actually symbolic of a famous Black person out in the diaspora. I strongly believe that Black Panther, the comic character, is based on three different people. The first person is Mansa Musa. Think about it from this perspective. Mansa Musa was known to be one of, if not the richest man to have ever graced the planet. And he was an African king, specifically of the Mali Empire. Mansa Musa was worth $400 billion and had more wealth than Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos combined in net worth. Matter of fact, ironically, vibranium itself in Wakanda was symbolic of oil and the other resources that Africa had that Europeans got a hold of and took for themselves. Think about how all of this compares to the comic character Black Panther. In T'Challa, he had a net worth of $90 trillion, which means he has more money than Tony Stark, also known as Iron Man, Bruce Wayne, also known as Batman, and Oliver Queen, also known as the Green Arrow, combined. And they were all rich white men. See, the character Black Panther was a bit of a hodgepodge. So, like I said, there were other people who were a part of his makeup. I believe he's about 55 probably percent Mansa Musa. And then, as far as the other two pieces of who he is, I would say he's about 25% Barack Obama and about 20% Martin Luther King Jr. In the previous podcast episode, I broke down to y'all where the MLK thing shows up and how this first movie began by trying to create somewhat of a MLK versus Malcolm X effect between Black Panther or T'Challa and Killmonger. But it later took this Barack Obama-ish turn for the worst with his character. And you know, in another podcast episode, I will get into why this is not a positive and further why I can't stand that this character was turned into Obama because of my feelings on Barack Obama. But just know this: I do not like, support, stand with, or respect Barack Obama. He did nothing for his people, and he was a willing black puppet for white supremacy. He did more things, in my opinion, that eventually harmed black folks than did help them. I have no respect for a man who would help out all these other groups, but not his own people specifically. So just so we are clear, if you think that this is a podcast where I will champion this man, give him the benefit of the doubt or anything like that, you've come to the wrong place, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. I will roast that disgraceful coon every chance that I get. Anyway, it's clear that the direction they were going with this character, being Black Panther, was to make him like Barack Obama eventually. As a matter of fact, I saw even some of Michelle kind of thrown in there. You know, there was this this theme of when they go low, we go high. That was just thrown in all throughout the movie when it came to T'Challa. And think about his people's code of ethics even, too, when they were dealing with the white folks in the movie. Notice when they were dealing with Claw, Ulysses Claw, how they didn't kill him. And even with T'Challa thought about it, thought about killing him, the sisters had to remind him the world is watching, you know, like they're watching you. They made sure no damn white folks got harmed, even if they were total criminals. Think about it. Black Panther and his people did not kill any white folks the whole movie. Hell, the only one who did any real harm to them was Killmonger in that movie. I mean, even in the end, when it came to the vibranium, notice how he said he had a plan to share Wakanda's resources with the United Nations without even sharing it specifically with Killmonger's people, which were the Black Americans. This was very similar to Barack Obama catering to every group, even passing laws for them without helping his own people specifically. See, Barack Obama was like him because it showed up that way from a lineage standpoint. Just like T'Challa, Barack Obama is not a foundational Black American. The movie made it seem like Killmonger made him reconsider his motives, but really, this was just a facade. Killmonger in that moment represented Black American voters because, you know, think about it. Killmonger was the FBA himself, or at least part FBA, and he shook shit up. T'Challa had to get him together and then made it seem like he honored Killmonger's gripes when he really didn't. And this is similar to Barack's off-coldness and not helping Black Americans while in charge. Really, what this tells you is that this movie and much of T'Challa's character was so much like Barack, they used the Killmonger thing as a way to take a shot at foundational Black Americans. And see, in the very beginning, T'Challa did have a Martin thing going on because he was at a point of confusion, just like Martin was in his own plight. Martin spoke about his whole I have a dream speech and then later backpedaled by saying he feared that he had led his people into a burning building with even giving out that speech in the first place. And you know, this was after the damage of integration had been done and after the criticism he received from Malcolm X for his methods in seeking Black justice. T'Challa's pivotal moment was when Killmonger came up in the kingdom and started shaking shit up, and he started talking about some, I cannot speak for other kings. Remember when T'Challa was saying that? He said that when Killmonger questioned previous leadership's refusal to address the issues with Blacks like him, who got abandoned and not helped in America. And unfortunately, T'Challa didn't follow through in Martin's journey and align with the beliefs of a Malcolm X like Killmonger in this case. But instead, they made him go full-fledged Barack on us. The interesting thing about all of this, though, is that most people, when they think of Black Panther, think about the group, the Black nationalist group, Black Panthers, that originated in Oakland, California. And they think that it's a play on that movement. And, you know, a lot of white supremacists in the past have tried to make stabs at the movie by saying, what if I had a movie called White Panther, and creating images of white men in the Panther suit and shit. But you know what the deal is with all of that. They treat the Black Panther movement very similarly. They acted like it was an unfair hate group that was simply the black version of the KKK. By the way, speaking of that, I recently had a conversation with this older black woman, and we were talking about race, and she knew I had some knowledge about me, and she told me that she had some friends who said they thought, they wondered if there was such a thing, or they said there was such a thing as the black KKK. She then asked me if I knew if there was a such thing as a black KKK. I laughed like hell, y'all, when she asked me that. And I'm like, first of all, you need new friends if they're going around saying some shit like that. It sounds to me that your friends are either coons or they're white supremacists. I don't know which one, because you didn't really reveal the race to me or what the whole situation was there, but it is one of them too. Second, there is not a damn black KKK. I can't believe I'm even having to justify this. The Black Panthers are the closest you will even somewhat get, but that's not nearly the same thing. The KKK is a white nationalist group, hate group even, and the Black Panthers are a black nationalist group that did a lot of good for the community, like lunch programs and helping out the community in different ways and fighting authentically for their people and trying to, you know, help us seek justice in a world that has been cruel to black people and has pilfered, pillaged, and stolen everything from them. The KKK is offensive. Black Panthers were a result of our people reacting to the offense given to us. The two are not the same, and it is disrespectful and disingenuous to even try to make some type of comparison between those two groups. Even in What If, they tried to say some slick shit like trying to equate the Black Panthers with the KKK, because even in a way, think about what they did with Killmonger. Killmonger himself was seen as some type of hodgepodge hybrid too, just like T'Challa. In one way, he represented the world's view on black American men. In another way, he represented Malcolm X. And then, to some degree, and this is what's probably going to get y'all here, to some degree, Killmonger was a representative of the Black Panther Party, as I talked about. Think about it. The Black Panther movement began in Oakland, California, and that is also where Killmonger was from as well, too. And that wasn't by accident, y'all. And you know, you all need to really, really start paying attention to this shit, because they really put messages and things like that out in these movies and in the shows that you like. Anyway, if you look at episode 9, which is the episode where that was the last episode of What If, what they did to Killmonger was very interesting to me. They had him betray the team that he was working with to try to save the universe from getting wiped out by Ultron. Eventually, he took the Infinity Stones for himself, and he was the most powerful being for a short amount of time. It then led to him having a little scuffle with that main dude from Hydra who tried to take the stones back as well too. And at some point, the two of them got frozen in this fight for the Infinity Stones, and they were frozen into what looked like somewhat of a snow globe midway through their fight. And see, this was some symbolic shit that Marvel tried to do, where they tried to equate Killmonger, or in this case, the Black Panther Party and their plight for black folks, to the plight of Hydra, and also known as their plight to or the plight of white supremacist groups like the KKK. So at this point, that scuffle was to show that there was hatred in fighting. You know, there was hatred in seeing what looked like a representative of the Black Panther Party fighting against what looked like a representative of the KKK, almost equating the two as if they're a part of this fighting related hatred. And they thought they were slick on that shit, but I knew exactly what message they were trying to portray. And you know, we need to kind of get into that in another video. There will be another video where I'm going to get into the difference between hating and causing unnecessary chaos and straightening, because I've been seeing too much that people are just conflating those two issues and not really taking a good look. And y'all are letting white supremacists get away with a lot of shit by not calling it out. So we really need to, we need to get our own straightening and shit, because y'all don't know the difference between straightening and hating. Anyway, speaking of Killmonger, some people believe he might, or believe that he might get brought back for this next movie, but I didn't think that. And personally, I really don't want them to. I think they would end up having him do something that is out of character or off code. And right now, we need to preserve the pro-black characters that we get, because we don't see them too often. And Killmonger is the most pro-black character that I have seen in any comic universe ever. I think the big mystery, though, for this next movie is who will be the next Black Panther. Or that was at least the what was presented before we saw the first trailer. And see, I saw that, I saw the teaser, and I saw a lot of different things that we need to have a discussion about. They saw, I saw that they portrayed someone being in the Black Panther suit, and they teased that as a mystery with who it could be. And then when I first saw this, I said to myself, maybe it could be M'Baku, although the chances are probably unlikely. Maybe it could be Nakia. Maybe it could be Okoye. Maybe it could be Shuri. And I mean, if they actually follow the comics, Black Panther obviously would be Shuri. That seemed to be the most accurate thing. And when I first saw this teaser, trailer, whatever you want to call it, that was my like initial thought process after kind of looking at all the options. I said, you know, obviously it's probably Shuri who's in that suit. Hell, they could be, I thought that they could be trolling even possibly, and maybe I'm just wrong. I ended up overthinking this shit. I was like, or maybe it's not Shuri. Maybe that's like just the most obvious thing. Maybe they could be trolling, and it could be something we don't even expect, like an actual Chadwick Boseman replacement, or it could be Chadwick Boseman himself before he passed and was able to pull off some of these scenes before they gave him this quote unquote tribute. Although they were pretty much informed that they pretty much informed us that T'Challa was dead and there was a tribute being done for him, I still kind of had the suspicions, you know, that this was a little bit of a possibility. We also got to see Ironheart in her interaction with Shuri. And we got to see this woman who was wearing white, and a lot of people seemed to think that that was Dr. Doom, which actually kind of makes sense to me. And we also got to see Namor and his partners in Atlantis and how they were having a confrontation with the Wakandans. Ultimately, when I saw this trailer, it was visually appealing. If I'm being honest, though, it's one of those things where you see a new trailer, and unless they really fuck it up, it's pretty much always going to look interesting to anybody who sees it. I was pretty excited at first because, like many, I was set on the hype of wanting to see what would happen with a storyline for a second Black Panther movie. But we have to seriously consider a few things when it comes to what was seen in this trailer and what it means for this movie that will apparently be coming out soon. And what I'm talking about is something that, and for me, damped my initial hype when I really got a chance to take time and look at the big picture of what was actually happening. Now, don't get me wrong, y'all. The idea of Namor being the villain doesn't bother me so much. But what did bother me was this feeling that the Black Panther series is getting hijacked by the Hispanic community. My feeling is that, like Shang-Chi with Asians, this should have been solely for African peoples, but instead, another group got crowbarred in. And see, this has been a bug in the ass of the enemies of Black folks for a long time, because there have been articles circulating around since 2018 that came out, like, for example, there was one that came out on lataco.com that said, when will Latinos get our Black Panther? So all these different groups that are considered part of this whole people of color coalition, they had issues with the Black Panther movie because they were trying to figure out how they were going to get their Latino Panther, how they were going to get their Asian Panther. It was all this stuff coming out. So anyway, they even had Latinos coming out around here with this fake ass gratitude to be included in the Black Panther movie as if this was some type of step forward in diversity, when it's really abuse and benign neglect from white supremacists, if we're being honest here. Those white executives know damn well that they in Marvel that they greenlit that decision, and it was not something Black folks were trying to have happen. Black folks didn't agree to this. And there was a video, and there was this guy, I think it was on Twitter, and he was talking about how, you Blacks did not have to do that. You didn't have to include the Latino community, but, you know, we just want to say we're grateful. Like, we didn't green light that shit. We did not. White executives greenlit that shit. So let's not act like it was Black people who made that decision, or that they even had the decision to include the Latino community in a movie like this. So let's just stop with the bullshit. But I'm telling y'all, they were definitely trying to water down the Blackness of the Black Panther series by adding in so-called Latino representation, quote unquote. Hell, like I said, the Asians did the same damn thing. The writer, or there was this writer named Susan Liu, I think that's how you say her name. She was whining in an article a while ago about how Asians were not getting fair representation, and that, and they probably should get their own version of Black Panther based off of the success of the Black Panther film. And, you know, there you go, family. There's your people of color coalition, by the way. They turned a character in the comics that just happened to be Black, despite not having very many authentic ones for ourselves, and made it into an ethnic argument that they tried to piggyback off of, when they never cared to represent us properly in their own cultures. So, going back to this initial trailer, a big theme of it was honoring Chadwick Boseman, who played T'Challa, and paying homage to him with having a mural in his honor and all this other stuff. When I first saw this, I was slightly bothered because I preferred they just recast him. But now that I found out some new things and did a little more digging, I'm even more concerned and bothered. At first, it seemed like the appropriate thing to do, but now I feel like it may take a turn for the worst. I mean, how many times has a major comic character been replaced when an actor left? I mean, we have 1,000 different versions of Batman, a handful of Supermans, and a whole bunch of other comic characters. And I already know a lot of you babbling Negroes are probably listening to this right now and saying shit like, "Ooh, but wait, man, those were in different universes and continuities and blah, blah, blah." The point is, I highly doubt if someone like Chris Hemsworth wanted to suddenly stop playing Thor, that they would just kill him off willy-nilly. Think about it. And think about somebody like Peter Parker. If they killed him off willy-nilly, nobody would want to just get rid of him in Marvel. Well, none of those executives would, because Spider-Man is just too big of a character in their eyes. They wouldn't say, let's honor Tom Holland and not have Peter Parker around anymore and have Gwen or whoever take over the Spider-Man suit. Chances are they'd rope in one of their other Spider-Men like Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, and then have them in the MCU doing their thing. They would have made some little universal thing happen. My point is that killing off T'Challa seems highly disingenuous when it comes to honoring Chadwick Boseman's legacy. And I'll give you three reasons why, actually. Number one, consider the idea that his character was just introduced to the throne as king in Black Panther 1. I mean, dude literally did not get a chance to make any move for real outside of his storyline in that movie. And Wakanda was a big part of Marvel culture, specifically how T'Challa functioned as King of Wakanda. We did not get to see him with Storm. We did not get to see him have his son Azari. We did not get to see him take on the real White Wolf. I mean, I could go on and on with how many storylines they could have played. They should have recasted him or brought in T'Challa from another universe or some shit to fix all of that, in my opinion. Because really, he didn't get a chance to make any real moves. And even in Black Panther 1, he was in a state of confusion for pretty much the entire damn movie because he wasn't sure how to move when it came to Wakanda's resources. Number two, recasting T'Challa would have also given an opportunity for another brother who is an excellent actor to flourish and shine as T'Challa. It would not besmudge the legacy, but more so pass on the character to be performed by someone else who was great. Think about all the actors who could have played him. And personally, I actually would have preferred a non-FBA person to take on that role, to make it more accurate and more suitable. Just like how I have an issue when, I don't always have this issue, but it's not the most ideal in my opinion, when you have a Black American role or a role that should be played by a Black American, like an FBA person, and they put someone who was out in the diaspora in that role. So they put a Black Brit in there, or they put a Black person from Jamaica in there. Again, I'm not hating on that. I'm just simply saying that I think it would be more ideal to fit in somebody who is, if they're a Black American, actor into a role for a Black American character, or a Black person who's out in the diaspora who is in Africa or something like that. Like, I think it would be best to have like a non-FBA, like maybe like an African brother or sister in whatever that role is. But seriously though, think about all the actors who could have played him. To me, I have a few that I would have chosen if it was up to me, actually. The first person I would have possibly chose for the role is, and I hope I said his name correctly, Yolan Noel. He played Daniel in Insecure. He's not from America, and I thought he would have been a great choice. He looks like he could be Black Panther, and he was a decent actor. It could have been Kofi Cerebo. I hope I said his last name correct, but he is the brother who played Ralph Angel on Queen Sugar. I thought that he could have been a good choice. He's an excellent actor. I saw all the ways that he played the character Ralph Angel on Queen Sugar, and I was very impressed. You know, it could have been Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who played Black Manta in Aquaman, and Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen, who I believe was at least part non-FBA, because I think his granddaddy was from the West Indies. Think about it, though. He was a great actor. Great, great actor. He did a great job as Dr. Manhattan, and he was also good as Black Manta, even though Aquaman wasn't that great of a movie. I mean, they could have even casted an FBA brother if it came down to it, if they couldn't get one of those people to play him. Like, for example, they could have had Trevante Rhodes, who would have done an excellent job in that role because he's an excellent actor. Think about it. T'Challa was played by an FBA brother himself. Chadwick Boseman was from South Carolina, and he was Gullah, I believe, as well, too. So Chadwick Boseman was FBA playing a brother out in the diaspora, an African brother. Anyway, my point was that this could have allowed a brother to take the lead role, which leads me to my third and final gripe. I think they didn't want a brother, FBA or non-FBA, to lead on purpose. That is why they turned the Black Panther series into what I believe is almost the mantle of Black Panther series. So it wouldn't be specifically about T'Challa. Ironically, they made it clear in Captain Marvel that there was a distinct difference between Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, with Monica Rambeau being reduced to a secondary character, despite her being the Captain Marvel we deserved in the first place. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I feel this was done to almost remove the influence and prowess of the black male in the Black Panther series. Have you noticed that they have almost completely eradicated the existence of the black men in the series, though? Wakabi is not returning. Killmonger is dead after getting treated like the angry Negro or the angry black FBA Negro. T'Challa was now erased, so they just left us with M'Baku to be the only black male who was in the series as a main character. And around him are nothing but a bunch of black women. And I don't know if y'all know this, but they just recently announced that the new Black Panther is indeed Shuri. And I get it, y'all. She did become Black Panther in the comics, but I need y'all to take a step back and look at how quickly and ready and eager they were to greenlight giving her the mantle. This was a way for white supremacy to push this narrative that they have created a while ago, that black women are the future of the black community, as if black men have no involvement or importance in it. This was to make the statement that women deserve to be the true leaders of our community, which ultimately is a disrespectful shot to black men. Black men are literally always being disrespected, and that is what this trailer was trying to tell us. The dominant society has been trying to cause division between black men and black women by encouraging our women to divest, to be independent of us. And this is a way that they exploit this type of behavior. T'Challa didn't have to be erased, and he didn't have to be killed off, because there was no story that could really make this make sense. They wanted T'Challa to be killed off, y'all, because it opened the gateway to black girl magic and divestment. Now, let's be clear, y'all. Shuri being Black Panther was almost not a thing, and it was because of this whole vaccine bullshit. There were articles circulating around a while back about her being an anti-vaxxer and her reposting a video of a suspected white supremacist, I think his name was Tommy Arayami, disagreeing with the jab and also saying some other greasy things about trans folks in the process. Then these hypocrites in the trans community wanted to sit around and call Letitia homophobic. Letitia is the sister who played, I think she's Guyanese, who played Shuri. They want to say that she was transphobic when it was clear she was talking about the vaccine because other comments she had, because all the other comments that she had even had were about the vaccine. They were upset because of the fact that when she reposted this video and he said these statements, they were trying to make it seem like she was also saying this when her, like I said, her literal point was about her feelings about the vaccine and not really trusting it. They wanted to say that, oh, she's trying to be transphobic as well, too. They wanted to crowbar that shit in there. See, the white LGBT community kills me with this shit. If y'all's asses care about your sexuality so damn much and the people in it, why the fuck did y'all stay quiet as church mice when Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years in Russian prison? Y'all still ain't do shit. It took people like Dennis Rodman, like actual FBA brothers, saying that they were going to try to attempt to go over there to try to help Brittany Griner. Y'all haven't said nothing. Also, why did y'all stay silent when they try to throw the book at your boy Jussie Smollett for committing a crime against his damn self? See, the dominant society loves to do shit like this. They love to give sisters this dream of divesting and being powerful and independent and outspoken and speaking their truths and being themselves authentically until it doesn't go along with their beliefs. See, this is where you liberal assholes go and do all this disingenuous, hypocritical shit. You all talk about black folks not being a part of a so-called monolith and being different until one actually thinks differently than the echo chamber that you have presented. You know, I was watching this clip too on YouTube where Keisha Shante, I don't know if y'all remember her, but she used to be a 106 in Park host. You know, she's a Canadian sister who used to make music and it used to air on BET. She was a news host, or is a news host, I think, still on ET Canada Live, along with this white woman. And her, and she might have been a commentator, actually. This woman I'm about to talk about, Morgan Hoffman, who was also sitting down with her and talking with her about the issue with Letitia Wright and the vaccine and what happened. And Keisha Shante was just sitting there mammying it up with this woman. She was talking about some, well, as a celebrity, you have a platform and you have to be responsible. And it's like, well, duh, you damn moron. For once, a black celebrity is being responsible by telling her people, and all people really, to consider what you put into your body. And to think about some of these decisions, like taking a vaccine, before you actually take it. And that's what she did. And she was shunned for even questioning the idea that this was something that our people need to really think about. Meanwhile, this white woman had all the smoke for justifying Letitia getting bullied off of social media because she reposted the video of the white supremacist I told you about. She claimed that she understood when Letitia just questioned it at first, but then she started seeing all these wild conspiracy theories that the man in the video was saying and thought that, oh, now her bullying is warranted. Ma'am, don't sit here and act like you have a gripe for just posting this man's conspiracy theories. Your gripe was that she was potentially going to go against the vaccine. And that video helped you justify why her apprehension was unacceptable. You were cool with her questioning the vaccine as long as she still chose to take it at some point. And that's what a lot of y'all do. Y'all are like, well, you know, let's give them some time. Give these niggas some time to take it, because they'll ease into the shit. So it's okay to just give them time and be patient with their decision to go along with your shit. But then it would not be acceptable if they chose to not do it at all, because that's why y'all sat there and made all those damn comments about people not taking the vaccine when this was a really, really big thing. And, you know, getting happy almost when people would die, you know, from not taking it, or getting happy that people are getting their freedom snatched. Also, family, let me be clear about something. There are conspiracy theories out there, but a lot of times people will call truths that have been hidden from black people conspiracy theories just so that they can listen and trust the dominant society to lie to them like they themselves have chosen to do. A lot of times this information really is helpful to our community, and it's deemed a conspiracy theory because we don't want to accept what is forced onto us, or beliefs that are forced onto us that are really lies. They make choices from a position of sheepishness, weakness, and selling out. But then they criticize and bully you because you didn't do the same thing. And, you know, with Keisha Shante, none of that behavior surprises me, because a lot of celebrities and known people like that get into certain positions and make decisions to keep their positions and lifestyle. And she's been known to do a go along to get along and a lot of times, too. Think about a 106 in Park when August Alsina didn't want to talk about his beef with Trey Songz, and he told her behind the scenes not to ask those questions about that, and she did that shit anyway. And then he sat there and he put her ass on blast and she felt all awkward and shit. See, family, this is the type of sister that they love. Someone who will go along to get along and move janky with her own people, even if it incites drama and negativity for the sakes of keeping whatever position they gave her. Then you had Don Cheadle's ass, who went and said some corny shit to her as well, too, talking about some by Letitia instead of by Felicia. Man, this Negro just used a corny ass joke to honor the white people whose asses he's kissing, that stole that from our culture and made it unfunny. That was some shit that we used to watch, by the way, in the movie Friday, when they would say bye Felicia to Felicia when she would come around and try to talk to them. And white people got a hold of that and they done exploited the hell out of that joke and just made it totally unfunny, like they do every damn thing. And this dude was making that joke to kind of get good with them, in my opinion. Don Cheadle was talking about how if he had known about what she was doing, he would have pulled her coattail, is what he said. And I'm like, why? So she can be samboing like you and go along and not questioning shit. You over there looking like a chocolate version of Megamind and shit, Don Cheadle. He's over here acting like his character in Iron Man. He's over here acting like War Machine, just a straight Sambo flunky that would suck Stark's dick for the hell of it. I bet that nigga couldn't wait to say that line in What If, when he told Killmonger he was going about things the wrong way and he needed to change things from the inside. This nigga was ready to throw Letitia away for questioning the damn vaccine. Like, goddamn, Marvel must be serving him hella butter biscuits to be paid to be Stark's bitch. Nigga, they didn't even make your ass the next Iron Man like they did Sam Wilson with Captain America. And you did all that dick sucking. All right, buddy. All right. Anyway, y'all, on a serious note, though, I will talk about my views on the vaccine in another video, but I will say this. I have not taken it. I'm proud to have not taken it, and I don't plan on taking it from what I'm seeing. I have many reasons why I won't take it, but long story short, I don't care if other people choose to take it if they feel that's what's best for them. I just can't stand someone who will bully someone for their personal choice on what to do with their body. And that's what they try to do to this sister just for asking a question. See, family, black people can get canceled for any damn thing if they don't play the game of white supremacy and their own damn people will assist. My point in all this is I stand with Letitia Wright in her line of questioning, and the fact that she made headlines is unsurprising. But what it shows you is how much black women and their opinions aren't as valued as they think by these liberal white supremacists. All right, y'all. So this was the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm going to have a lot more to come, a lot more to talk about, and a lot more to follow up with what was discussed today. Again, there's going to be new episodes to come. So make sure that you stay tuned. Make sure that you subscribe where you have to, and make sure that you tell your friends and people who you think will love this podcast to check it out. Anyway, y'all, I hope y'all have a good one, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.